Dear congregation, you have heard long sermons. You have heard short sermons. But have you ever heard a one-word sermon? That is what we wish to hear from the lips of the Lord Jesus this morning. From the cross, as he speaks the sixth saying on the cross, which in English is three words, it is finished, but in Greek is one word. But what a gospel sermon this one word contains, as we hope to hear with the help of the Lord from our text, John 19 and verse 30, these words, it is finished. Our theme, looking to the Lord, is Christ's one-word gospel sermon on the cross. We'll see it proclaimed, first of all, and secondly, proved. Christ's one-word gospel sermon on the cross, proclaimed and proved. Congregation, these are the final moments of Christ's life on the earth. He had just cried, "I thirst," fulfilling the scriptures, as we saw last week. And a Roman soldier had pressed vinegar on a sponge, on a hyssop stick upon the lips of the Lord Jesus. And as we saw, one last foul, distasteful, abhorrent, stinging taste of the world was left for the Lord Jesus to taste and to drink. And then he shouts. That's what we read when we compare Scripture with Scripture. If you read Matthew, Mark, and Luke, at this very moment, they all indicate that Jesus cried with a loud voice. And what he cried was told us by John. He cried with a loud voice, "It is finished." This is the shout of triumph from a victor over sin, death, the devil, and hell itself. To all those standing by, the Lord Jesus does not die as a whimpering victim, but as a triumphant conqueror. He shouts. He cries with a loud voice, and this cry, congregation, is meant for heaven, his Father, the angels. It is also meant for hell, the devils, the demons, and all those who raged against the Lord Jesus. But this cry also is meant for the entire world. And in fact, it impacts the whole natural realm, because we read that the earth was shaken and the rocks were rent and the graves outside Jerusalem were opened, and many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised. And the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom. So efficacious was the work of the Lord Jesus, so penetrating his final victory shout. What a word the Lord Jesus spoke. It is finished. Father, the work thou hast given me to do, it is finished. Devils, what you conspired to undo and to keep from happening, it has been done, and it is finished. Angels, indeed, wonder in amazement at what the Son of God in human nature has done for the weak, for the poor, for the dead children of Adam. What the law could not do, being weak through the flesh, God sending his Son into the world in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemn sin in the flesh. Charles Spurgeon says it would need all the other words that were ever spoken or ever can be spoken to explain this one word. It is altogether immeasurable. It is high. I cannot attain to it. It is deep. I cannot fathom it. In congregation, this word, though addressed indeed to heaven and to hell and to the entire universe, but has a particular address to the children of Adam, the sinners like you and like me. Are you listening to this final sermon, you could say, in a certain sense, from the lips of the Lord Jesus during his earthly ministry? What wonderful sermons he had preached time and again. The Sermon on the Mount and on so many other occasions in synagogues, in the temple plain, in the upper room, and on the countryside. But now it is all compressed in this one word. It is finished. Well, what is this sermon about, congregation? It is about the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because when he says here, it is finished, he means the entire work of redemption which he undertook from all eternity in the Council of Peace, in the covenant of redemption. Children, do you remember what the Lord Jesus said when he was 12 years old in the temple? His first recorded words in the scriptures. He said to his mother, "Wist ye not that I must be about my Father's business?" He had come to execute the task that the Father had given him to do, the Father's business. And that's what he had done all his life. My meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish the work, he said to the Samaritan woman. And just a few chapters back in his high priestly prayer to his Father, the Lord Jesus said, "I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do." Well, what specifically was this work of the Lord Jesus Christ? This business of the Father? Well, congregation, it concerns the glory of God. The glory of God which we come so short of. But he was all about the glory of his Father and all that he said, thought, did, and undertook. This work concerned especially the work of redemption, which he had taken upon himself and which he executed all his life long. The act of obedience wherewith he was charged to fulfill the whole law of God, to magnify the law and make it honorable in the place and in the room of sinners like you and like me, who have transgressed all the commandments of the Lord and kept none of them. But he did. He kept them all from the beginning of his incarnation, even till this very moment on the earth. The law could say nothing against the Lord Jesus. And though he was sorely tempted by Satan time and time again, though he was accosted and assaulted by men, by religious leaders, by his own disciples as well, yet he had kept the law of God to its very jot and tittle and never transgressed. But it's not only his act of obedience that's in view here when he says it is finished, but all his suffering as well, his passive obedience, all that he endured in order to pay the debt of sinners like you and like me. It is finished. And when we look at this remarkable gospel sermon which he speaks here and consider its subject, we must see within this "it" Also, all the promises of the Lord spoken in the Old Testament, from that very first promise on, he shall bruise thy head, Satan. It is here finished. All the shadows, all the types, all the prophecies, they're finished. Just a moment ago, he finished the last one of them when he took that vinegar of which Psalm 69 spoke, and he drank it. He finished all the types and all the shadows. It is finished, he said. And within the bounds of that it, there is that work of reconciliation, whereby a people estranged from God, rebels, enemies, out of communion with God, are brought nigh by the blood of Christ. It is finished. The price for the purchase of God's people unto God is paid. It is finished. The handwriting of our sin, dear believers, that was against us, he blotted it out. And the enmity he took out of the way. And it is now finished. The justice of God that needed to be satisfied because of our sin, people of God, that has been paid to the uttermost farthing in the depths of the forsakenness that the Lord Jesus Christ endured when, forsaken by his Father, he drank the dregs of the cup of the wrath of God due to sin. And that's why, congregation, here in these very last moments of his life, the Lord Jesus Christ, surveying in his mind's eye the entirety of his work, he can say and does say and shouts, "It is finished." And notice, congregation, that he doesn't say here, "I have finished it," though he could have said that. And he does say in his high priestly prayer, "I have finished the work thou gavest me to do." In this moment, in his gospel sermon, he hides himself behind his work. Yes, he's there. Yes, he hangs. Yes, he speaks. Yes, he shouts. But he holds forth the finished work, and like a true servant of the Lord, he doesn't point to himself, but he points beyond himself to the Father who has commissioned him to do a task. He has humbled himself. And even here in this moment, he is still the humble servant of the Lord who hides behind his work and presents it, as it were, before his Father, and in the eyes of all mortals, angels and devils, and says humbly, "It is finished." Congregation, when in the light of this we compare ourselves to this glorious mediator, have you ever finished anything? When it considers what God has given you to do, me to do, can we ever say, "I have finished the work thou gavest me to do"? Can we ever, looking upon the deeds of our own hands, on our life, can we say, "It is finished"? Congregation, the deep reality of sin in our lives is such that we haven't even begun. We haven't even begun to do anything of what the Lord has charged us to do. For when we consider ourselves in Adam, our great federal head, Adam left the work that he was commissioned to do. He left it. He did not finish it. And this covenant of works under which we are all born lies broken in our hands. And this is a reality that we must come to grips with. And by the light of the Holy Spirit in our lives, we come to see that we have not finished. We have not even begun to do what the Lord has charged us to do. When He said, "Do this and live." And this is something that we will never get around unless room is made in our hearts and a deep need for someone outside of us to undertake the work which must be done. I wonder, congregation, if you know something of this. People of God, you do. And you faced with it even in the week that is past when the Lord called you to examine yourself and in the mirror of God's holy law and also gospel, you realize how short you come. It came to this, didn't it, in your life, also this week. You said, "Lord, with me there is nothing but sin and shame. Everything is undone. Everything lies broken, half finished." And so it will forever remain from our side. But then what a glorious gospel sermon this Lord Jesus preaches to those who have nothing and can produce nothing and can finish nothing. And who really, when all is said and done, have never begun anything, even themselves, out of their own nature, to hear the one and only speak with authority, with the approval of heaven, with the confidence of his soul, with the love of his heart, "It is finished." For from the moment of his conception, when he took to himself our human nature and obeyed the law and obeyed all that the Father gave him to do and suffered for your and my sin, people of God, all that we failed to do, he redid, if I may say. He did it perfectly. And so all his life long. But what a cost. Don't imagine that this was without cost. No, it wasn't. It cost him everything. It cost him the smile of his Father. It cost him that peace with God. He was accounted sin, who knew no sin, that sinners like you and me might be made the righteousness of God in him. All his life long, this was his uppermost concern and question. What has the Father willed for me to do? What must I do? I will fulfill it, no matter the cost. He set his face like a flint. He was all about the work that the Father gave him to do. And here he may, and he does say it, in the hearing of all, in such a way that the Spirit also, down through the ages, makes us to hear it. It is finished. But someone says, "But what about the application of redemption? Is Christ not continuing to work in heaven on behalf of his church and people, and even in the midst of this world?" Well, certainly he is, but he is applying salvation precisely because he has accomplished it. He has fully accomplished it. In this moment when he cries, "It is finished," the whole of redemption of all God's people in every age, through the length and breadth of this world, it's fastened here in terms of its meritorious foundation, firmly, securely, in a settled way, in a way that all of salvation is rooted and grounded, and it will most certainly follow because Christ has finished this work. He has merited salvation. And so when the Lord Jesus says to his disciples, "I go to prepare a place for you," he will do that because he has merited that place for them. When he applies salvation in the regeneration of a sinner, he does it because he died and took away the cause of death, namely sin. And therefore, on that basis, because of his finished work, he can and does regenerate sinners. Also today, he brings sinners out of darkness into his marvelous life because he suffered on the cross the darkness of the forsakenness of hell. And so we see, congregation, how the application of salvation is precisely rooted in the accomplishment of salvation. It is finished. Well, congregation, this is the sermon. It was addressed, as we saw, to heaven, hell, and also the children of Adam. It spoke about the work of Christ and Christ in his work. But as with every sermon, here's the question: what effect does this sermon have on you? And that's the great question, isn't it? That's what preachers, that's what believers, that's what we all should be concerned about, is what does the preaching do in our lives? Well, what does this one word gospel sermon of the Lord Jesus do in your life? It tells us, first of all, doesn't it, that the Lord does no half work. The work that he begins, he finishes. And there's no doubt about it. It is certain. It is unshakably certain. But then room must come in our lives for this finished work of Christ. And that's why, if that has never happened in your life and you are still trying to weave the garment of salvation yourself, that righteousness to be accepted with God yourself, and you are still busy clinging to this and doing that and relying on the other thing, well, my friend, then you have not truly heard this gospel sermon. It is finished. But when the Lord brings you to see by the work of the Holy Spirit in your life that the whole of your life has been one unfinished mess of sin, and that covenant of works within which we are born and to which we are held accountable until by the law we are made dead to the law, that this still condemns us, because it shows up how we fail and how we come short and how we leave unfinished what God has called us to do. Congregation, have you ever recognized this broken covenant of works and how you've tried to build on it, but all in vain, all for naught? And has it come to this in your life that not the labor of my hands could fulfill thy law's demands? Could my tears forever flow could my zeal no respite know. None of this would ever atone for sin. Thou must save, and thou alone. Thou must finish the work, or there's no hope for me, child of Adam, sinner that I am. Congregation, when you see that, then there's room. Then there's this need. And this gospel sermon of the Lord Jesus Christ becomes everything. All your hope. All your expectation. Because then there is one who has finished what you would never and could never have finished. He has fully undertaken it. He has dealt with the curse that lay upon you, and rightly so, by virtue of the covenant of works. And he has taken it out of the way. And instead, he has made for blessing. Because, congregation, do you see how in this one word of Christ, it is finished. The covenant of works is fully made up and finished and done. The Lord Jesus Christ does it on his people's behalf. And in that very same word, not only is the covenant of works done, finished, the covenant of grace goes open for sinners. Poor, needy, ruined by the fall. Jesus bids you come and welcome, all out of grace. Come and find in him a complete Savior. And that, congregation, is what the Lord's Supper shows forth so beautifully. I for you, who should have suffered innumerable reproaches, who should have been condemned to death forever and forever and forever. But I, in your place, I have finished the work. It is finished. And when the Lord makes room for that in your life, then he works it into your soul again and again and again. Because when we are honest, people of God, we still find something in us that goes after the covenant of works, in which we try to build upon what the Lord Jesus Christ has done. Something of self, something from our side. And we need time and again the Lord to sweep it all away and to fix us on his truth and his gospel, his work and his person, and to say, it is finished. It is done. No more is needed. Rest, sinner. The hardest thing for you to do, rest, for it is finished. Well, congregation, the first Adam left everything unfinished, but the second Adam, that's where it all is. With him it all lies. He took up what the first Adam threw down, and he finished it perfectly. And in him, and because of him, there is that open way for sinners. It's all in him. Not what my hands have done, but his pierced hands. There's a way to the table. And it runs through his pierced hands, his pierced side, for sinners who have nothing, who can't do anything, but who look to him and say, he is all my righteousness, for he has finished it. Rest my soul. Be still my soul. It's all in him. May the Lord give that by his grace and for his glory. Amen. Let us pray. Gracious, good, doing, and almighty Lord God of heaven and of earth, we beg of thee to preach this one-word sermon in our hearts, and that thou wouldst make room for thyself entirely and fully, and thy finished work, and drive away all vestiges and remnants of trying to bring about in ourselves some work to add to Christ's finished work. O Lord, grant that our hands would drop, and that we would fall before Him, and that we would adore. What a Savior. What a glorious finisher of the work. What a precious, loving, second Adam, all in Him. And we ask this all in Jesus' name and for His sake alone. Amen.